This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. Wow. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, welcome back. The Gus Bradley Show returns to the HananiaAutos.com studio inside EverBank Field. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. Joe Fortunato manning everything behind us this evening. And filling in for the head coach is one Tony Baselli. Hello.
Maybe head coaching's in my future somewhere. I highly doubt it.
On a serious note.
I don't know
about
that.
That's what I said. I highly doubt it.
The reason that Tony is here is because Gus Bradley is with his family. His father's funeral up in Minnesota was today. And, you know, on behalf of all of us here, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners, you know, we send our condolences along to the Bradley family.
Yeah, I wish I wasn't here, frankly. In the sense of I wish Gus was here.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm glad to be here and be with you guys, but, I mean, you just hate. Tough week, you know, tough week for Gus. I mean, his father passes, having to go to London and be over there and be away from him. You know, he's a family guy, and he was able to go see his mom before he headed out to London and now up in back home for the funeral. So, like you said, Brian, our hearts go out to him. I think we all love Gus, and since we've gotten to meet him, what a great guy. We're fortunate to have him as a head coach, but on a personal matter, it's hard.
I mean, I give him a lot of credit.
I do too.
I mean, really. I mean, think about his week last week. I mean, after the game here against the Chargers, he finds out that his dad has died, and he's conflicted. He gets on a plane, goes to Minnesota, and with great support from the owner and the general manager, and then gets on a plane and flies to London, gets there a little bit late. But then, you know, he was the exact same Gus Bradley that you would expect, not knowing that he had a tragedy in the family. Hit the practice field all positive. And I also give him credit because he was very upfront about how he was conflicted and how he tried to deal with being the leader of a family, then also being the leader of a football team. And he was very upfront and honest, which is what we've gotten out of Gus all year long.
Well, and what have we always said about head coaches who have success in this league? I think there's a common characteristic, and that's consistency. They're the same. They have a conviction. They live by it, and that's how they lead. And listen, we're 0-8, so I mean, none of us are saying Gus Bradley's a great head coach. I think he will be. I think history will prove down the road that this was a great hire and he'll have a ton of success, but he has the characteristics of being consistent. Win, lose, draw, things going around him that aren't working out, he is the same guy, the same message, treats people the same way. You don't wake up coming into work wondering what Gus Bradley you're going to get, and that has been the case around the league in locker rooms in different situations.
Well, it's been the case here for a number of years prior.
Well, I mean, listen, the one thing, love, hate, or be indifferent about Tom Coughlin, Jeff will tell you the same thing. You show up to work every day, and there was no change. It was the same Tom Coughlin. Now, it wasn't always very pleasant Tom Coughlin, but he was no different. You know, he was the same guy. And so I think that's a characteristic that'll pay dividends for this franchise because that's the character that Gus Bradley has.
And a lot of people are going to start asking the question, though. Does that style work in the National Football League? You know, because he's so positive and he's so upbeat, you know, because you hear a lot of people say, he's got to bring the hammer down. You know, and I, and my response to that is, what is it going to accomplish? You know, this team needs more players that can make him a better coach.
Well, I mean, listen, is Seattle pretty good?
Yeah.
That's it. Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's pretty dang positive.
Yeah.
Was Indianapolis okay under Tony Dungy?
Yeah.
He was not a yell or scream or bring the hammer down type of guy.
Go back. Chuck Knoll the same way with the Steelers. Same thing.
There's different. And listen, trust me. We don't see it, but you talk to guys. Gus gets on this team when the time – I mean
– in his own way.
In his own way. I mean, he lets them have it, so to say, however you want that to be. We've said it a number of times on the show as we've done different shows. Is there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and I know the PETA people don't like that saying, but
Loggy didn't mind it.
There's
at all.
A lot of ways to skin a cat.
Joe likes it,
and there's hardcore disciplinaries, screamer yellers, positive cheerleaders, father figures. Go all the way through the history of the NFL. They've all worked, but the one thing they all have, they're consistent. That they are the same, and they are good football guys.
I was reading one of John Wooden's books on the flight home. And the more
I was watching movies.
Yeah, bad movies too. But and Wooden is arguably the greatest coach of any sport over the last 50, 60 years, modern, you know. So all I kept reading was Gus. You know, he talked about his focus on the players and getting better and what they do. And Gus has told me that, you know, a lot of what he's derived from his philosophies comes from guys like John Wooden. Well, that worked for him, and I think it can work in the modern era. But, Loggy, you said it. This team needs talent, and they knew going into this season it was going to be like this. And so Gus needs time.
It's been brutal, though. I mean, I'm looking at the games here. Lost by 32, lost by 18, lost by 14, lost by 34. I mean, that has to start changing, though. You know, because when Gus explained the expectations for this year, he said, we just want to get better. You know, and you could make the point, unless you look real close, that this team has not gotten better yet. Now, look, they had one heck of a stretch of games, and then they got Denver, San Diego, and San Francisco, and it's hard to look better against teams that are playing at such a high level as those three teams are. But now you start to hit the stretch of games to where they don't look as stiff. You know, you've got Tennessee, Arizona, Houston, Cleveland, Buffalo, another game against Indianapolis, and I think these are teams that – certainly within the conference, second time around against Indianapolis, it should be better. Against other teams, it should get better.
All right. Well, when we come back, we've got three big topics to talk about over the course of the rest of the show. And, of course, we will take your calls for Tony and for Jeff at 800-355-NFL1. Our three topics are the quarterback, the past, present, maybe even the future. The defense, where has it gone the last few weeks? And obviously areas for this team to improve, where they can improve and where they're going to have to wait until 2014 for improvement. The three big topics that we're covering here on the Gus Bradley Show, minus the coach this evening, who's with his family up in Minnesota at the funeral of his father. This is the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. There's snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate on your way home or throughout the course of the weekend getting ready for football here in Jacksonville. This is the Gus Bradley Show. The phone lines are open, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Obviously, the quarterback is the story of the season, guys. I said past, present, future. At this point, past appears to be Blaine Gabbert. Present appears to be Chad Henne. Future to be decided.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to change or not. Gus kind of left that open-ended. You know, but going back to the first week, the first game against Kansas City, I remember we were talking on our show that's the next hour, and I said I didn't think he should play against Kansas City. You know, I thought it was too much to ask of a young quarterback to prepare in 1 week to start practicing on a Sunday and then play the following Sunday after having missed a couple different weeks after he had the thumb injury
against the Jets.
And my approach would have been, I want to make him earn it back in practice to where he just can't wait to get out on that field, not to where he's kind of favoring the hand and he's not sure about certain things and maybe doesn't want to take a snap from center. Because the hungrier quarterback is, the better he is. I thought that was a mistake. And now look, he's done nothing with the opportunities since then. And extremely disappointing game in St. Louis. The first and goal at what was at the 5-yard line,
yep,
was absolutely pathetic. And he's got to be better than that. And so I don't disagree with how Gus is handling it right now. Make him earn it back. And if Chad Henne plays well, which the offense has had more production under Chad than Blaine, then that's the way it stays until something different happens in practice or elsewhere.
You know, the thing that you said to me watching the tape after that St. Louis game was the body language of his teammates. I mean, there was obvious disappointment. And I listened to what Gus is saying, and he's a genuine guy, but I kind of see that in the way that people are talking about him. You know what I mean? About Chad. It just seems to me like they think there's a better opportunity for them to be more successful.
Well, you could tell, and going back to what you're talking about, what I saw was on all of those downs, you could see frustration of the receivers or the skill position players towards Blaine. And it wasn't like they were just frustrated because they didn't make something happen on that play. I mean, it was turn around, look at the quarterback, and throw your arms down in anger. You know, when you have that, that's not good. I mean, a quarterback's got to be the leader. He's got to be able to focus on offense, and it was clear watching that series of plays that they did not believe in him. And he's got to get that belief back if he's going to get back out on the field.
Well, I mean, I'm chuckling because I don't really care if they believe in him. You know how you get people to believe in you?
Perform.
Be good. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, let's just cut to the chase. Is he the guy or not? I mean, because where I disagree with Jeff, if you're the guy, a week's plenty of time to go get ready to play. If you, trust me, I'll bet you any amount of money, Andrew Luck, who's younger than Blaine Gabbert.
No, he's older. He's older,
but I'm saying younger in it. Andrew Luck is a rookie last year.
Okay.
If you'd have missed 3 weeks of football and he came back and said, I'm ready to play on Wednesday, that guy's starting on Sunday.
Yeah, but did you get the impression that Blaine came back that week and said, I'm ready to go?
No. You're right. He was so tentative during the week when it came to talking about his thumb. He stood in the locker room on Monday and said, well, we'll find out Wednesday. Well, we'll see how practice
goes. And see, that
goes.
Attitude right there would have just told me my answer that I needed to know.
I think we talked about
doesn't
it
play
the air, too.
Well,
hey, look, I
go back to the theory if being the quarterback or really being any position or successful at anything in the NFL at the highest level of professional sports, it's so much more than just talent,
right?
Physical talent. It's mental toughness. It's presence. It's desire. It's hard work. It's who you are as a man and wanting to be great. It's the sense of whether it's fear, failure drives you because you want to be great and you anything less isn't good enough, or the desire to be the best. Whatever it is. I mean, and great players have had different things that have driven them. That is inside of you. I don't know if it's in Blaine. And I know this. You can't be a franchise quarterback and the guy if it's not. And then, so to me, it's...
That's called it.
The it. Perfect label. But that's how... You know how guys want you to be the guy or want you on the field? When they see that, when they sense that, when they know that. And now maybe that can be developed, but this is year three for Blaine. At the end of the day, it will be decided at the end of this year. So if I'm Blaine Gabbert, I realize I got 8 weeks to figure that out and dig deep, do whatever, you know, whatever it is, read something, have a spiritual awakening, you know, I don't know what it is.
Bolt of lightning.
But I would say I got 8 weeks, Jeff, and I better figure it out because otherwise there's going to be someone else under center next
year. And I don't know if that decision hasn't already been made.
Well, it might be. But at least you can put some down in
it. We don't know.
It sure seems like a foregone conclusion, at least in Jacksonville, with the Jaguars. They're likely to be the first or second pick in this draft coming up. And the number of quarterbacks that are out there.
Oh, they're going to get a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to get a quarterback.
So that pretty much lays it out there for you to see.
But there's no guarantees.
Well, no. But let me throw this one out to you. Alex Smith right now is one of the most productive quarterbacks in the NFL, right? First overall pick in 2006. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 did nothing. Everyone thought he was a bust. 11, Jim Harbaugh comes in. 11, 12, he gets hurt. But look where he is in Kansas City right now. So that's the counter to the argument, is that some guys do fail before they succeed. And so I guess the question is, do you see anything there that says, well, he might?
Well, I'll say this.
I mean, would you bring him back next year? You got him under contract.
Here's the thing. This organization is not in the place to say, let's roll it out for 5 years and see if it works out.
Well, I would tend to agree with you on that.
I mean, no, you can't. Listen, nothing against Blaine. I hope he succeeds. I like Blaine. I think he's a good guy. I enjoy him. He's fun to talk to. I mean, I think – but you, if I'm looking from an organization standpoint, I'm not rolling the dice with that and saying –
No.
Well, no. I mean, come on. This is it.
No, if I'm the general manager, I may draft two quarterbacks next year.
I might draft, you know –
I like that theory.
Well, listen.
I used it on Monday.
But here's another question, though. Okay, Chad Henne's contract is up after this year. Do you gain anything by having him play?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, you decide whether he can be a guy who can help you in the future as a backup.
I mean, I think that determination is already known. I mean, you know that he can be a backup.
Yeah.
You know what he is. You know, so... Would you gain more by playing Blaine in these last 8 weeks?
No.
But here's
the
reason
why. You
got
to play the guy who can win games.
He's under contract. There were many other teams in the National Football League and many other coaches in the National Football League that had him ranked high. And you know how coaches are. Give me that piece of clay. I can mold it. I can coach him up. I can get him to play at a high level.
Go for it.
You know, so is there more value in playing him from a possible, from two standpoints? One, to find out more. And number two, if you already know, then maybe you can get something for him.
No, come on. You think you're going to be able to trade him and get something?
You don't know.
Yeah, I think I do.
He's a quarterback.
I don't care. I don't care if he's, you know, an astronaut. I mean, come on. I mean, honestly, Jeff.
In all seriousness,
you're like one of the – you're a smart guy. You're one of the smarter guys I know. And that's like one of the dumbest things I've ever heard you say.
If he comes out – that's what I'm saying, the importance of the eight games. If he comes out and has performances like he had in the preseason against the Jets, you don't think you could get something for him? We're talking about a quarterback.
Listen. First of all, what – I mean, is there any body of evidence that makes you think that's going to happen, number one?
Nothing yet. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that eight weeks is an opportunity to give you a body of evidence.
Okay, number two, everyone talks about, God, we got to get the first pick. I've argued with Pete about this. But this franchise has to win. It is not good for this franchise to go 0-16.
That's really deep.
I'm telling you. But there's some people that argue with you. Going 0-16 is no big deal. Guarantee the first pick. I disagree with that 100%. You are trying to build something in a culture here, and winning is important. You got a bunch of young guys that you're hoping are the foundation of this franchise. You got to put the guy in there who gives you the best chance of winning. And if it's Chad Henne, then he needs to play. I don't care to find out at this point.
You know, you say that, and I agree with you that winning is what it's all about, although we all know that that's a limited option for this team this year. Right, I mean, they're not going to run the table, I wouldn't think, and go 8-8 and get everyone up there. My point, and it kind of speaks to what Jeff is talking about here, is I don't care what the end result is to this season because I know it's not a playoff season. My concern is, am I doing the right thing for finding out how many players I have? Right. So, who is it that decides? Although you don't have Jokel, but who is it that helps you decide who is coming back and who is not? Because isn't that what this season's all about? Finding out the guys that you really want and those that you don't?
Absolutely.
Doesn't that have to factor into your equation?
Yeah. Yeah. It does. But I'm not saying that Blaine should play this week coming up next week.
But your point is well taken.
I'm just saying is that if you're looking at possibly building to the future and Chad being, you know, contract is up, you know, he is what he is, could you receive more benefit by having Blaine play the last eight games? And I'm not saying that that's the right decision. You know, I'm with Tony in that it's about winning. I mean, ultimately, it's about winning. Yeah. Who's going to give you the best chance to
Jeff,
win?
So, Jeff, let me ask you this. As a player, and you and I played in 95 on a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
That was no fun. Were you worried about the draft position as a player the next year?
No.
Did you care?
No.
What'd you want to do?
No.
What'd you want to do?
I didn't care because I knew that the draft pick still is a crapshoot somewhere.
So what were you worried about doing?
Winning.
In doing your job and winning. And so Gus Bradley has told us, and we believe it, because this is who he is, about competition. And the best players are going to play. So all of a sudden, are you going to tell the rest of your team, well, we want to find out about what this guy can do, even though this other guy gives us we're assuming that Chad Henne gives us the best chance of winning. I just think that's completely contrary to what Gus Bradley's built this thing around.
All right, let's leave it on that. We've got to take a break. We are way behind. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by PRI Productions, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Let's take a couple of phone calls here in a very short
segment.
Before
you go, real quick.
Okay.
I just got to thank J.P. Shadrick for the black coffee he brought me. I appreciate that, J.P.
Are you struggling to get back on East Coast time after the week in London?
I've been a little groggy at night. The later the night gets, I'm like, whoa, it's late.
Real late.
Yeah.
who's taking me 3 days? But you know what? I don't think I ever adjusted. You know, just make
know,
a comment about you know, teams going over there. It takes. I don't know if you ever truly adjust to making that trip east. Now going west is always easier. It's been a little bit of an adjustment coming back, but not like what it was getting there.
Was it?
It was. I'll tell you what. That flight home was brutal.
What did you watch? You watched After Earth.
I watched 42, which is an outstanding movie. I watched, what was the second
Way Back, did you watch that chick flick?
I watched another second good movie. I can't remember what it was. And then I watched After Earth. That's how good the second movie was. I can't remember what it was.
I mean, if
42 was a great movie.
Can I just say that when people got hungry, they came and sat around us because they knew where the food tray was most of the time.
I bet you I had 10,000 calories.
You need to go on a diet now that you're back. I can tell you that.
I have.
You know, by the way, I was looking at the post-game report from in London.
I'm fat.
Yeah.
It's bad. I'll tell you what. Not that this is probably more information than anyone wants to hear. I was getting ready to shower, and I looked in the mirror. I'm like, my goodness, what has happened? And so I'm like, someone's got to stop eating. And so I'll let you know it's been
10-hour flights.
How long have
we
been home
difficult.
Now? What day is it? Wednesday, Thursday?
It's Thursday.
So
this is the third day.
Days.
So I've eaten good for 3 days. I worked out. I'm working out. Listen, it's very obvious that someone needs to stop eating so much, and it's me.
Let's grab a phone call or two before we take our next break. We've got Brian at Ponte Vedra. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, guys. Jeff and Tony, you guys are superstars. You're rock stars. And I travel around the world on business, and I know the feelings about jet lag and everything else. In the wintertime, I gain about 100 pounds.
I don't need to do that. I've already
got even winter Bacilli's already gained.
Yeah, I got an extra 100 already, I think.
Well, when you hold your belly up to the mirror and you go, geez, what happened? Am I pregnant or what? But, the bottom line is the reason I called was I think Chad Henning is a really great quarterback. I think he needs a little bit more development, a little bit more coaching from Gus and the offensive line coaches and stuff there. But I really think that he's the future of the Jaguars.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Well, I do, unless...
Brian,
unless
are you jet-lagged right now? Did you just get off the plane from
Asia? Did you
just
come from Malaysia somewhere?
No.
You said Chad Henney's the future, right?
Well, I think so at this point. I think it just needs some more development. Okay. And if you guys can spend some information
Yeah, no, don't worry, Brian. They're about to. I'm going to put you on hold so you can hear it all. Here we go.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You want to what?
He wants some information, your thoughts on
Chad Henney being the future.
No. No. I mean.
Are you sure?
Look, hey, I like Chad as a guy.
He's a great guy.
I like.
He's an outstanding backup.
I think he gets great respect in the huddle. I think he gets great respect in the locker room. He's a tough guy.
He played while his wife was in labor.
He's going to take the hits. But he is what he is.
I'll say this, though.
How many years is this for Chad now? Six?
Yes.
I would do this.
If you don't know by year six that somebody is going to be a franchise quarterback, then shame on you. I mean, the jury has already made the decision on Chad Henney. He's going to be a career backup.
I would say.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll tell you
He's going to do quite well for himself and his family.
I would bring Chad back as the backup. Because I think all the things Jeff just said is exactly right. He's great in the locker room, great in the meeting room. He's a tough guy. He can win a football game for you if your starter gets hurt. I think he's very valuable to any team. I mean, I think he's one of those guys who will be make a lot of money as a backup because he can win football games for you.
All right, we hope that answered your question, Brian. The answer is a resounding yet does not work as far as these guys are concerned. We'll take a break. Come back. More to come. The Gus Bradley Show with special guest Tony Bacilli here on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along. Brian Sexton, Jeff Longman, Tony Bacilli here on the Gus Bradley
Jeff
Show.
Is so uplifting.
He's going to tell it like
just
it is.
Trying to give you a little motivation.
If I ever feel down, Brian, I'm going to call Jeff and say, Jeff, I'm really down in the dumps today.
Could you help me?
You help me? Yeah. You look like a fat pig. Oh, thank you very much.
You want me to sugarcoat it?
No. I know you're not going to do
that. Anthony Robbins, he's not, but he's going to tell you exactly what the story is.
Holy cow. I'm going to jump off the bridge.
Well, I mean, I've been telling J.P. Shatterick he's been looking great. He's lost a lot of weight.
I think he's gaining some back, though.
He's kind of leveled off in his progress.
He was looking, he's looking.
But he has made great strides in his weight, and he passed it to you.
Yeah, I've, whatever weight he lost, I found.
Let's grab Tom on the north side.
Before we go to Tom, I'm going to, but here's.
You're going to make a play on it. We're going to hold you accountable.
Here's a pledge. By
right on the board.
Right on the board. March 1st.
Okay.
I will be 280 pounds. That's down 30.
Good God, that'd man. What do you weigh now?
Well, oh, you can do that. Easy.
I was like 315, 16 coming back from London. I'm 310 now.
Dude, how was your plane weight?
No. I was heavier in that plane.
He's
310 now? Yeah, 310 today. I'll be 280 by March 1.
I just have to tell the story real quick. We're on the plane ride over.
Oh, this is
great. We're on the plane ride over. We're just taking off, and we'd get to an altitude where the stewardess could bring some food back.
Before the food came, though. Remember, because the food then came. And
yeah,
then
right. You said to me, you looked at me with the straightest look in your face, and you said, Sexton, I'm going to lose 7 pounds in 7 days.
Because I brought all these workout clothes. I'm working out at least once a day.
Well, I said, how are you going to do that? You said, I'm going to work out twice a day.
Food's no good in England. And I'm going to eat right.
And I said, do you want me to hold you accountable for this? The stewardess comes by with the first tray of food. He goes, when we land, after the flight,
three cookies and milk.
I
had dessert. That was my dessert. Wasn't the three cookies? I had the meal, dessert, and then three cookies with milk, and then like four candy bars, and then the late night snack.
I just wish
I never slept.
I'd had the camera rolling. The JP had had the camera rolling because the look on your face was priceless.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so that's.
It wasn't good.
You're 310 today. So you're saying 30 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to be 280 by March 1st.
Everyone listening is going to hold you accountable. They're going to see you out in a restaurant. They're going to say, you can't have the bread. You got to put the bread
down. I'm going to do it. You watch.
All right.
280. You don't think, Logs?
No, I believe you can. I mean, I've seen you trim before. Yeah. You look great there for a while.
All right, here we go.
For a while.
You did.
I appreciate that. You know the bad thing is, and I know no one cares about this, and we're probably going to get fired for talking about this, is when I got down to like 270.
I know. That's when you look great for a while.
You know what my wife said? She says, gain weight. You look awful. I'm like, okay. That's easy to do. I don't think she meant for me to like eclipse over 300 again.
Right.
I think she meant like 10 pounds.
Right.
I took her at her word and I gained 45.
Let's grab Tom up on the north side and get off of this moment. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Great show as always, guys. I just wanted to comment about the quarterback conversation. I think you got to go with Henny the rest of the season, not because he's our future, but it's just the comment that you made earlier about the evaluating the whole offensive players and everything. It seems that they respond definitely a lot better to him. I mean, I remember last year Justin Blackmon seemed invisible the first half of the season until Blaine got hurt, and Chad comes in, and all of a sudden he's lighting up the field. So I think just to evaluate what you got and everything else you have, you got to stick with Henny and then pick up a quarterback next.
Well, and it's kind of funny how, and I'm not trying to justify anything here, but Tony was right. When the talk about Eugene Monroe's trade to Baltimore, would it be good or would it be bad? And I made the comment that it's going to be bad right away. And I don't think it was terrible right away. It wasn't great right away. But if you look at the numbers, in the first four games where you had Eugene Monroe at left tackle and Luke Jokel at right tackle, the offensive production compared to the last four games to where you didn't have really Luke Jokel for the whole game in St. Louis, but until the San Francisco game. So you had Austin Pasdor at right tackle and then Cam Bradfield at left tackle. So the comparison of those first four games, the last four games, which happens to coincide when Chad Henne has been playing. The offensive production has gone up 125 yards a game. The sacks per game have gone down by an average of 2, and the yards gained per rush has increased by 1.3 yards.
Which is a lot.
Which, I mean, those That's three like numbers are unbelievable. And we're talking about an offensive line that we're
backup
going,
tackles.
Uh-oh, what's going to happen? And so
now,
I give credit to a couple different things.
Yeah.
One, the coaching staff for and David Caldwell for having the courage to do it. And then also to Chad Henne, because I think he's played a role in that.
Yep.
But also Austin Pasdor, who I know Tony's got some strong feelings about, who has played pretty well and played well against the 49ers.
Can you make those feelings quick, or can you wait till after the break?
You want to take one last call, and then we'll do that?
Well, we got to take a break. We're behind.
Let's take the break, and then I'll talk,
about,
talk about
Austin Pasdor.
Right. I have some things to say.
More to come from Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman here on the Gus Bradley Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, as promised, Tony Boselli now with some thoughts on Austin Pasdour, the Jaguars' right tackle.
Well, you know, when we made the trade, and I thought we had talked, I mean, what the three of us talk about, we have no say in any of what happens. Right. But we had talked about, you know, what kind of value you could get for Eugene and everything else, and not knowing what Dave was going to do. And I had thought for a while that this team would be better with Austin Pasdour at right tackle and Luke Joeckel at left tackle than Luke at right and Eugene at left. And to the common, just looking at, well, that's silly. I mean, why? I mean, Eugene's a better player than Austin. Well, athletically, maybe. But from what I saw in the preseason and the type of player that Austin is and what you need and what you can get away with at right tackle, I thought Austin filled that bill pretty well and could fill it. Because he's a tough guy. Is he limited athletically compared to an elite tackle? Sure. But he's tough. He's physical. He is a smart player. He understands angles. He understands assignments. He's not going to bust things on you. And he's going to fight whoever he plays. And so he's ever since he's gotten in, he's gotten better each week. I thought he played very well from what I saw on tape against San Francisco. And he's the type of guy that, because you asked me the question before the show, is that a guy you can go into next year with your right tackle? Are there better right tackles than Austin Pasdour? Sure. But I believe you can because he brings an attitude to the offensive line. And on top of this team has so many dang holes.
Right.
Right now, Austin Pasdour is playing better than any offensive tackle who starts for the Jaguars today.
Does he have any headroom or is he right up against his ceiling?
No, I think he can get better.
I think he can get better. But, I mean, we're not talking a huge jump.
Right.
No.
I mean, just because athletically he is somewhat limited. You know, but the more experience that he gets, he's going to get better. I think he's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger.
Absolutely.
Now, look, in a perfect world, you know what you'd like to have? DJ Fluker over there at right tackle, sure, who we got a chance to watch with the San Diego Chargers, who, by the way,
then moved to left and did okay, too.
The Tennessee Titans made a huge mistake drafting Chance Warmack ahead of DJ Fluker.
I agree.
But, you know,
let me ask you this, Jeff.
There's a lot of holes on this team. You know, so is right tackle going to be a priority next year?
I don't think so. Not with that, because he's
no.
I mean, he's playing fine. And Jeff disagreed with me at the time, which is, listen, almost everyone probably would.
I was scared to death going against Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
And Chris Long. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And he did fine.
He did fine. I mean,
and here's the thing, Jeff.
Both of them did fine.
You played
Cam.
You played left. You played right and left end, but you played against a lot of right tackles. And I've watched a ton of film on right tackle since I got into the NFL. I've seen a lot worse athletes do or similar athletes do just fine and have long careers playing right tackle. And I'm not saying he's John Runyon, but John Runyon was not a
– I was just about to ask you real quick.
He was not a great athlete. Now, John Runyon was a massive human being who would punch you in the mouth, spit on you, gouge out your eyes, and try to kill you on every play.
I was going to say John Runyon, John Jansen, who played a long time for the Redskins.
Yeah, John Jansen had a little more athleticism.
Yeah, he was a decent athlete. Right. But, Jeff, I mean, you can speak to that. I mean, all the guys you played against at right tackle that weren't great athletes.
Before we go to a break, watching Austin Pasdour, I know that I can't get him completely off balance, that he actually is fairly disciplined in the sets and everything, but I'd love to play against him.
Okay.
I would look forward to it.
I'm not saying you wouldn't, but it's not easy.
I would say, going into that game, I know I'm not going to get any freebies.
That's my point.
Okay. We need a break. We'll take it now. More to come with Tony and Jeff here on the Gus Bradley Show, and you are listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along. We spent a lot of time on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense the last few weeks, I know, Logs, you have watched its deterioration. The head coach admitted it to us the other evening when we were working on his television show. What gives?
I think the play of the front is just not good. And, you know, you can't point to one particular guy. It's almost as if it's a merry-go-round. Okay. Roy Miller will have a mistake one play. Cedric Marks will have a mistake the next play. You know, Andre Branch might have a mistake the next play. Babin will have a mistake. You know, and then Mincy, when he gets in there, he has a mistake. And when you have no consistency up front, I think it's very difficult on the linebackers. The only consistent player in that front seven group, the defensive line and the linebacking group, has been Paul Posluszny. You know, and holy cow, that guy is playing so hard behind a front that's not playing that well. I give him a lot of credit. And Geno Hayes is a guy that makes mistakes. Russell Allen, I think, has limitations. I think this may be a drastically changed unit next year.
Is that where they spend money in free agency?
I think they're going to spend money in free agency, and they're going to spend draft picks.
You have to. I mean, listen, it's not just what concerns me. I mean, I agree with everything Jeff just said. I'll add one more thing. We don't get off blocks. I mean, guys get one-on-one blocked. In the NFL,
you got to win them.
You got to win. I mean, at the end of the day, you can draw up all the defenses and schemes and gaps and all this great stuff. It's at some point, it's the left tackle blocking the right defensive end, and who's going to win that matchup? And if you lose all four or five matchups up front, it's going to be a good play. I don't care what defense is designed or called.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
That will be a very different room next year.
How about the secondary thus far? I mean, we're talking about two safeties that are rookies. Grotz is getting back in there right now.
I think they're doing pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, I think they can be better, but I think they're doing pretty good.
They have to make too many tackles.
How many secondaries have we seen in the National Football League, like the 49ers, that aren't all that good, but because the play of the front seven is good and it makes them look better?
Giants won two Super Bowls doing that. They were weren't even good at linebacker. And the front four guys were so good.
I think Josh Evans and Cyprian are struggling at times, but I think that there are guys that you can say, okay, hey,
those are mental mistakes, not physical.
Both. I mean, they have both mistakes. But when you look at those two guys, you say, hey, we're okay here. Would we like to maybe upgrade, you know, maybe Evans or upgrade with some depth? Yeah. You know, but overall, Will Blackman stepped in for the injured Grotz, has done a very nice job. Alan Ball, the best free agent acquisition, period. Right. That the Jaguars have.
Final break. We'll come back and wrap up the Gus Bradley Show. And for those of you in Jacksonville, get ready for an hour packed with excitement. Jaguars Thursday follows here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. We'll take this break and return on Jaguars Radio. All right, 2 minutes left in this Gus Bradley Show. Really appreciate you, Tony, sitting in. Thank you very much.
No problem. I'll send my bill to Joe.
And you know what you're going to expect from that, right?
Oh, I know exactly what I'm going to get.
All right.
Yep, hey. I just got it. You just gave it to me.
Improvement. We've got less than 2 minutes. Where can this team get better over the final 8 games of this season?
I think first and foremost, they can get better up front, be more consistent. I mean, Sendarek Marks can be better than what he's been. Roy Miller can be better than what he's been. I think at the defensive end spots, Tyson Alualu, who's been fairly solid, but he doesn't give you any type of pass rush. But if Sendarek and Roy can get better, and also the defensive end, who happens to play opposite of Tyson Alualu, whether it be Jason Babin or Andre Branch, if they can get more productivity out of those three positions, and Geno Hayes increase his production, you know, and I would not be surprised if we start to see Leroy Reynolds at some point here in the second half of the season.
Outside.
Somewhere at linebacker.
Okay. What do you think, Tony? I mean, if you could point to an area in particular in, you know, 35 seconds.
No, I agree with Jeff. I actually agree with Jeff 100%, because if you look at – I mean, I think you can get better in the run game and all those things, but I think where you can see the biggest jump is how the guys play up front in the front seven.
And that's first and foremost, stopping the run. You got to do that before you think about doing anything else.
All right, folks, Mark Brunell steps into the room for Jaguars Thursday, which begins in about 3 minutes in Jacksonville on News Talk WOKV. For the rest of you across the network, join us online, or we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.